Father, in the name of Jesus, as we go to your word today, I ask you to give us revelation and wisdom and knowledge from your mighty word. Reveal to us the truths of the word of God as we go to Hebrews chapter 1 and 2. Lord, as we study in Hebrews 1 and 2 in the NLT, I ask you to give us wisdom and knowledge and understanding of what you're trying to say to us here in your word. And I praise you and thank you for the wonderful word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. To start off with, we're going to be in 1 and 2. We're going to talk a little bit about the angels and the covenant and how God speaks to us. We see here, he said, long ago God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. That used to be the way that God spoke to his people. He would choose a man, and he would give that man a message, and that man would go in to tell the people what God had to say, and most of them didn't believe him. In fact, most of them wanted to kill him. They didn't want to. When the man come in and begin to tell them that they're sinning and that they need to change and they need to do things God's way, people got very upset at the prophets, and some of them they even killed. Well, it hadn't changed much. You know, he's using men today to do the same thing. And some of us are prophets, some are. I'm not saying I'm one, but I guess as a professor of the Word of God, I guess when I'm teaching his Word, that makes me a prophet, I guess, in that light. But in long ago, he used to speak through the prophets, but now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. Now, God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance, and through the Son, he made the universe and everything in it. So you couldn't have anything any more wonderful or powerful than God himself coming down from heaven and becoming a man and walking on this earth as a man and done everything he did to show us how a man is supposed to live on the earth. Now that was one of the many things that was supposed to be completed. Jesus Christ became a man. He became a man just like you and me. And he became a man to show us that it is possible to live without sin. Now I have definitely not mastered that, you know, but I'm working on it. Amen. You know, I have not mastered it, and don't feel bad because I hadn't met anybody in here yet that has mastered it. And the more of you that I know, the better I know you, the more I know you haven't mastered it. Because the more time I spend with you, I know you're just like me. You let the flesh come out every once in a while. And that's terrible, but we do that because we're all human beings, unfortunately. But he did show us how we were supposed to live. Now, this Jesus that came, he made the universe and everything in it. Now, to me, that is absolutely mind-boggling to think about a God that could take nothing and just speak and stars come into existence, or the Milky Way come into existence, the galaxies come into existence. Just to make the Earth come into existence is beyond my grasp. I mean, I think about sometimes just building a building, you know, setting the foundation and building a building. Maybe it's a small building. Maybe it's only a 2 or 3, 4 story building or something. But when I back off and look at it, I think, wow, look what I just built. Isn't this awesome? It ain't nothing. It ain't nothing. I mean, even if I built a skyscraper that was 100 stories, it's nothing compared to what God made. And he made it by speaking it. Awesome. I mean, just he said, let there be, and whoa, boy, you talk about faith. I mean, that's real faith. Now, when this God was here on this earth, when he was in the boat out there one day, you know, somebody woke him up and said, Master, do you not care that we perish in this storm? And he stood up and said, peace be still. And everything stopped. And then he turned and says, where is your faith? You know, he's still saying that to us today. Where is your faith? I've given you that dominion and authority. I'm showing you how it works. Everything in the Word of God was put in there by our Lord to show us what we can do as sons of God. Now then, let's go to the next verse. Then he says in verse 3 and 4, the Son reflects God's own glory and everything about Him represents God. Exactly. He sustains the universe by the mighty power of His command. Just think. The trillions of stars and planets and moons and suns and everything else that are out there, trillions of them. He controls those every day by His mighty spoken word. He tells them where to be, and that's what they do. And they don't run into each other out there. Of course, space is very, very big. You know, we think about going through space. You know, as all of you know, just a few weeks ago, or actually days, hadn't been maybe a couple of weeks, whatever it was, the Atlantis shuttle made its last trip. In our space program, I guess, is dead. But they took off, and they went up there, and they docked in a space station that we have up there that's as big as a football field. This thing is awesome. And this space shuttle Atlantis docked into that thing, and then they unloaded a year's worth of supplies for the men and women that's going to be based in this thing, and there are going to be people in it all the time. They're going to go up from now on in the Russian shuttles as they go up and back, but that thing, just a few days before Atlantis got there, there was a piece of debris, pretty good size, that slipped through their radar somehow, or their machines, whatever. And when they finally saw this thing, it was so close to them, they run and manned the emergency exit vehicles to get away in case they got hit. And this little piece of debris only missed them by 110 yards. That's only the length of it. Now then, if you're up there flying around at 25,000 miles an hour, and a rock is going 25,000 miles an hour, it don't make a difference that rock ain't but that big. How much damage do you think it's going to do to you? Wow. It could cause devastation. You know, so I think, you know, it might be nice if people knew God where they could call on Him in cases like that. If I had been up there in that space shuttle, I wouldn't have been afraid at all because I know the dominion and authority. If I'm walking in obedience, I could command that rock to change directions and miss us. We have that kind of power, don't we? If our faith is there, we have that kind of power because God showed us, and He showed us in the Word how that He done all this thing. And He says, and after He died to cleanse us from the stain of sin, He sat down on the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God of heaven. He died to cleanse us of sin. So technically speaking, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when you come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it makes no difference where you were living or how much sin you had in your life, how old you were or nothing. The day you accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, how much of your sin did He cleanse? All of it. He washed you in His blood and cleansed you, and at that moment, you were in perfect, perfect shape. Now, I remember when I was in the hospital with Caitlin years ago when the doctor said it was impossible for her to live. There was a little two-month-old baby in the hospital there, too, and I was standing there in the waiting room. Somebody else was in visiting with Caitlin. Of course, you know, they were just sitting with her. You couldn't talk with her, nothing. But she was comatose, too, at the time. But I was out in the hallway there when a couple was standing there with, it looked like, their children or whatever, a younger couple. And a doctor, two doctors, actually walked up and said, sir, we're sorry, but your child, your grandchild, is 95% brain dead. And so in the morning, he will be gone. So you need to prepare for a funeral. And the doctors walked off. I walked over to the older man, which looked like he might have been 50, 45 or 50. And I said, "Sir, are you a Christian?" He said, "Yes, sir, I'm a Baptist." I said, "Well, where are you from?" And he told me somewhere up in the Northeast. I said, "Where do you go to church?" He said, "We go to a certain Baptist church." I said, "Do you go every Sunday?" He said, "No, I go very rarely. I drive a truck over the road, and a lot of the time I'm out of town on a job on Sunday." And I said, "What a shame." I said, "Because you are not a believing Christian and an on-fire Christian." I said, "I just heard the doctor say your grandchild's going to die." I turned to his wife and I said, "How about you? Do you go to church? Are you a Christian?" She said, "Well, yeah, but I only go when my husband's there. I don't go if he's not there." I said, "So both of y'all are virtually dead Christians." I turned to the young woman. I said, "Are you a Christian?" "Yes, but I don't go to church at all." I asked the young man, I said, "Are you a Christian?" He said, "I believe in God." I said, "Son, the devils believe in God and tremble." But I said, "You don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior." So I spent about 20 minutes talking to this young man and showing him everything that was required to come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. He was 21 years old, had been raised up in a Baptist Christian home, had never met Jesus. So I led the boy to Christ. After I led him to Christ and he accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, I said, "Now then, son, where is your child?" He said, "Well, he's in there in ICU." I said, "Well, can I pray for your child?" He said, "Well, I guess so." I said, "Let me tell you something, son. Right now, you have just been washed in the blood of Jesus. And every sin in your life has been cleansed." And I said, "You're never going to be in a better place to receive a miracle from God. Because in far as God's sight, right now you've been cleansed by the blood. And you're perfectly white." I said, "So will you take me in there?" I said, "You're the spiritual head of your family. Would you take me in there?" He took me in there and I looked at this little tiny guy. And I touched this little guy on his tummy with these two fingers. Spoke the word of God, and I said, "Father, in the name of Jesus, you told me to lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." I turned to the young man and his wife, and I said, "I guarantee the Lord will do a wonderful work on your child." I turned and walked out.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety, titled "Swimming in the Baptism of Fire," or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.